And if you have your Bibles, you want to follow along, I invite you to turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. A lot of blessings in the book of Ecclesiastes, as there is, it is in all of the Word of God. The Lord has given unto us His Word through His men by His Spirit. And He used them in the place where they were at and in their character and their frame of mind. This is a book written by Brother Solomon, King of Israel. Also noted here that he's, in the beginning of it, that he's the preacher. And that's, I find that interesting that he refers to himself as that, the proclaimer of the Word of God. I often wonder about Brother Solomon and his frame of mind when he's writing Ecclesiastes. It's not that what we have been given in the book of Ecclesiastes is not correct and right, because there's many, many truths that are there, and we know that we have it by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. But it seems like Brother Solomon, being king and having no restraint physically of anything on the earth, he's found out himself to be, in some respects, very disappointed. But in other respects, he's seen the power and the working of God, and a sobering understanding of the way things really are. Don't put your stake in the things of the world. Brother Solomon conveys it to us. He did it every which way that he could, and he found it all very disappointing. Yet we are here living life, and the Lord gives us blessings and things to enjoy. And so we learn that too. But I guess in summary, the way, once again, we say it, we know it, let the Lord help us that we would do it. The Lord has given us what He's given unto us, and it's good that He has done so. He's given us life. He's given us power to pursue and to do and to work and to accomplish, to gain, to enjoy. But we got to keep it all in its right place and perspective. Because if it gets out of place and we get our perspective on it wrong, we're just going to be the worse off for it. And I think that's one thing, indeed, that we can learn from the book. In this chapter, and considering this chapter here in recent weeks, it's a chapter that speaks to us about what Brother Bobby brought out this morning in the devotion, what I mentioned to you this morning. It really, really hammers home the point about where would we be without God having revealed Himself unto us, and where would we be without God telling us the truth about all things? We would be like a lot of people have been, like a lot of people are, and like some people are going to be, just here living, but with an aimless, wandering life. But the Lord sent His truth, His word, His knowledge unto us. And no, you may have got a tract, you may have got a mailer, but you know, it came to us through one of His children or a person. It came through us to us, the Word of God, the truth of the Lord came to us through some means. Some printer having been used of the Lord to print a Bible, some person distributing such, some family member living a life dedicated to the Lord because of the salvation of their soul and living that in front of us to let us know that God is there and He can be known, and there's more to just Him being there and He's over us, the power. A lot of people live like that, don't they? The power that is over us, and that's all they know, and that the way the heathen are, the power that is over us, we must suffice. So we can go ahead and have our leeway to live life somewhat the way we want to. But he tells us about His desire for relationship with us. about what he's accomplished. You know, no greater love hath a man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And that's what God the Son has done for his people, for us, for we who are saved. And he's done it for us. So I may have given some of the message away, but as an introduction, I wanted to mention those things. And may the Lord help us this morning with just this small passage, and that we have some things reinforced, maybe have some things that we're reminded of, and some things maybe that we've never seen before that the Lord would teach us. There's a time for everything here, and these first eight verses tell us that. Listen, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born. And here we are. We're here. Some of us born farther back in time than others. Some of us born fairly recently. But here we are. And the Lord was in control of all that. A time to be born and a time to die. Now, when you're young, you don't think about dying. And that's one, I think, in some part, that's a blessing of youth. You're living. You just started living. And so it's not a thing that young people think about as dying, but it is a part of life. There is a time to die. And that is speaking about this old this body. This body is going to die. But you know, you are not going to die. Your soul will not die in the sense of the lights going out and no feeling and no knowledge. That will not be. The soul, your soul is going to live. My soul is going to live forever somewhere. But as Solomon's looking here upon the earth and the things of the earth, there's a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Unless you're a Baptist. We don't know. I've been looking for you, brethren, that have been teaching Sunday school class to tell us about. Seems like one of you here some time ago was going to explain to us about the dancing that Brother David did. I don't know if anybody ever got that accomplished. I don't remember it so. But Solomon says there's a time to dance. And it's not the wicked, a sensuous dance of the world. It's not speaking about that. It's not speaking about the dance that we've been seeing in Hosea and the worshipers of Baal and all that wicked worship of Baal and Ashtoreth and all those things that are associated with that. It's not speaking about that. But there is a dance that is good and right before the Lord. We just don't know what it is. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, or to tear. And a time to sew, to put it together. A time to keep silence, to not say anything, and a time to speak. And may the Lord help me to know when that is. A time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. So there's a time for everything here, and may the Lord help us that we would understand what time it is. The Lord give us help and wisdom in that. In these next verses, in light of this timing and this of a time for everything under the sun, and with what's mentioned in verse number 2, a time to be born and a time to die, those are the bookends of our life here on this earth. I think that we have in these next verses a contrast between man and God. And again, listen to what it speaks to us of. Listen to what our Lord tells us, the Word of God tells us about just our natural existence and assignment on this earth. And not that it's bad. It's not that what God has done and assigned to mankind is bad in any way. But because of sin, if that's all we have and all we know, we are indeed a people that are trapped. And it's happened because of sin. What profit hath he, verse number 9, that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? But what's the advantage of a man, a woman working? And what do they gain? What's the profit of that? I have seen the travail. That's, if we understand it correctly, it's talking about the employment or the business which God hath given to the sons of men. And so God has made man. He gave in Adam, he gave instruction unto Adam and to us to work. In the curse, there is more work. Till the ground so you can eat. It's going to cause you to sweat. It's going to cause you to labor. And what's going to happen? That's going to cycle every single season of your life. For Brother Adam, what, 930 years? Every season, the cycle of his life was to work the ground that he might be able to eat. And then we're going to do it again next year. That's what man got, and the resistance of the earth for success in that because of sin. Because you remember at the beginning, Brother Adam was given to tend and dress the garden. Didn't have to plant or sow. Only had to harvest and kind of trim things up a little bit. That was a pretty easy duty, wasn't it? But then after he disobeyed the Lord, then he and all of us, all of his children, are given this employment, this travail, this business. Given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. This word exercise is speaking about, in some usages, to be abased, to be weakened. Is it good for us to work? It is. It's good for us to work because you know what idleness does? You know, I thought about this in light, you know, and I like technology. You like technology. We enjoy it. And the next technological thing, we're interested in it, just at least to observe and to consider how it works. And maybe it's something that we can obtain and even use ourselves. And we are always looking for time-saving devices, right? I mean, that's just, we're just looking for that. But the other side of that is that if we don't have things to keep us engaged and busy, and we have things that cause us to have time to just be idle, you know what our natural tendency is to do? Is to take idleness and not do what's pleasing to God. It can work against us if we don't do well with it. Is technology bad and evil? No. It's easier to dig with a shovel than it is with your hands, right? And as Adam's family got bigger, I'm sure he began to develop something that was a lot easier to dig with something than it was with his hands. He had more to provide. But there is this that the Lord says, he's given this work, this business to men to be exercised by it to, if you will, hold them down. The assignment came immediately after the fall, did it not? Because the Lord knew that that assignment was what was needed. That threat, ultimately, of death by starvation was needed to keep mankind focused on that. And even at that, sin multiplied to the time of Brother Noah, didn't it? And the Lord saw that every way of God had been corrupted by man. So we see the Lord giving this travail to be to the sons of men, to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time, the Lord has. Also, he hath set the world in their heart. This is all we know, naturally, this place. What we can do in this place, our pursuits, our work, what we need to do to be able to eat. And sad to say, it's amazing unto us, isn't it, that we've got generations at hand today that don't even care about working at all to be able to feed themselves and to take care of themselves, looking for a handout to be able to sustain. It seems like the work ethic has been crushed. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. He has set the world in their heart. Why? So that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. This working of God and after the fall and where we find ourselves all the way from the time of Adam, the world is set in the hearts of men. And because that's all we know, that's all we see, we think we understand to the extent that we do. In that, we're just so consumed with it, we have no capacity or ability to find out what the work of God is. In a sense, because of sin, I mean, we are stuck. Mankind is. Because, I mean, isn't it evidenced by this statement? Well, I just can't believe in a God I can't see. Because that's all we know all of our lives is about what we can see. That's what's real to us. So this disparity, this great contrast between man and God. God has made everything beautiful in his time, and what a wondrous creation it is. You go around the globe, you go in our country, in North America, and around the globe to see all the variety of the creative creation of the Lord. I mean, it is wondrous. Why do we like to travel? If you're bent towards travel, you want to go from where you live and what you know and see all the time to go somewhere else to see something you haven't seen. Because it's not the same in other parts of the world as it is here in Southwest Kentucky, South Central Kentucky. And it's wondrous to see what God has done. But that is set in our heart by him. And in that, we cannot find out what the work of God is, what he has done from the beginning to the end. And I'll go ahead and say it, until he tells us. Right? Until he tells us. We can't know it unless it's made known to us what he has done. And understand, I realize that God dealt with Adam before the fall, and he dealt with Adam after the fall. And praise the Lord, after the fall, he continued to deal with him and us. But had the Lord not shown up, where would we be? We would have no knowledge whatsoever. Man is so preoccupied with living and sustaining himself that he cannot see or know God. We're tied up in this. It's just in us. And then add depravity because of sin, we are even more separated from God naturally. And then reminded of this in Romans 1, we see it there in Romans chapter 1. When man looks to know God, or as I've mentioned earlier, the power from his own intellect, every time without fail we miss God. Why? Because we think, he thinks of God that is one like us, right? Or less. Isn't that something? The Lord is so high, so great and so mighty, so marvelous. And we, even in the way, even mankind being the crowning part of his creation, We are so low and so far from him, and that's what sin has done to us. Verse 12, I know that there is no good in them, and that's true. Solomon knew it. He had seen. He ruled and judged a people for 40 years. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And so, enjoy life and do good in life. Why would it be that one would want to do evil? It's in us to do evil. We know that we naturally love our sin because of sin and the fall and that. But having been created by God, we should be doing good, shouldn't we? Good has been done to us. But instead, no, we don't. There is no good in them, he says, but it is right for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. And so the aspect of living on the earth is a wonderful gift. Better to live than to not live at all? I say better to live. It's easy for somebody that's saved to say that, because it's so true. It's great to live, certainly as a child of God, isn't it? A better to live than to not live. And so the Lord gives the blessings of this of the earth. It's not like it's without blessing and without goodness. It is that. But in knowledge of God, we just don't know him of our own accord. And then the contrast. I know that. Listen to this person. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. What about you and me? What about what we do? My grandfather died some years ago, and everything that he did and touched, except probably for some mementos that are held by the family, all that Granddaddy has left is a grave and a stone down there in Madison. And as it goes, if the time rolls on another handful of decades, 50 years, 100 years, I don't know who there will be to remember my grandfather, C.S. Duke. But what about God? What he does stands forever. What we do doesn't stand forever. Maybe a man can do something and might stand for a handful of centuries. It's going to cover over with moss, isn't it? It's going to be drugged back to the ground. But Solomon declares, he said, but when you take a look at God, what he does, it'll be forever. And listen to this. It does not lack. Nothing can be put to it. Oh, missed a piece there. Now, you can say that about my work. Missed a piece there. Need to go ahead and get that trimmed up and add that on there because Jim forgot it. Jim forgets a lot of things. Not God's work. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be put to it. Nor anything. Oh, did it too much there. God made one too many birds. God made one too many types of wolf. Well, when we go in monkeying with them, we make situations that are really bad, and we maybe wish that wasn't when one wasn't around. But he didn't overdo anything, did he? He did it all very well. But look at us. What we do doesn't last, and it's faulty, but not the Lord. You know, he is one indeed that we should desire and see and understand, that we need to know, that we need to hear and listen to and engage. You know, all this... It's always been that way. There's been popular people amongst the people of any land and any time. And those that are famous or infamous, the people, there's a cut of the people that just want to get up close to them. They want to buy their apparel. They want to wear the same kind of shoes. They want to get the same kind of watch. They want to have an autograph. They want to have their picture taken with them, right? There's anybody that we should want to know. want to hear from instruction. It's our God. It says there in the latter part of verse 14, and God doeth it. He does this way that men should fear before him. You know, that's one aspect. That's what's going on with evolution. Attribute God's work to something else, to chance. That way the fear of God will not be found amongst men. And that's what we are reaping that in our country today. Reaping that. The bent, the idea, and most recently the Marxist idea of mankind just being all that exists is just matter and energy. And what you do is what you do, and there's no right or wrong, and whoever can conquer whoever else, that's just the way it is. There's no fear. There's no compassion. There's no consideration. There's just dominance. And God has done what he has done in the creation, and in putting us here and making us, creating us, and the assignment that he's given us, he's done all of that. The celestial bodies and the things that we see in the sky. We were looking at the sky the other night at the weenie roast, and he's created all that men should fear before him. A great contrast between us and God in there. Brother Solomon says, amongst us and amongst this on the earth, that which has been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. There's nothing new under the sun, is there? Because you know what? Man is very predictable in the way that he does. And the word of God stands eternal, doesn't it? You know, I mean, I think we can take that and consider that the testimony of God, especially here in our time since the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, what God has said, he said, and that's where it stands, and that's where it is. Men are sinners, and we need a Savior, and Christ is the one. He has created us, and we are the created, and we have been made to glorify him, not ourselves. And the latter part of verse 15, and God requireth that which is past. You know, that has to do with one of these times. There's a time to live, and there's a time to be judged. He requires what is past. He's going to deal with each and every one's life. He requires what man has done. And he will deal with it. As it says there in verse number 2, as we read, there is a time to die. You know what the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28? I trust you know it. Maybe you don't. Listen to what it says. God requireth that which is past. In light of that, verse number 2 here in Ecclesiastes 3, a time to die. It says in Hebrews 9, 27 and 28, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's right there up against it. What it says there in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, there's a time to be born and a time to die. And you can take what it says from Hebrews and put it right after that word die, judgment. Judgment from the Lord. But I'm thankful for this other verse that comes after verse 27. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And you know what? We wouldn't know that unless the Lord told us that. And we wouldn't know that unless the Lord used one of his children or some means upon the people of the earth to carry that to us. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Oh, there are sins? Yeah, there sure are. There's transgressions. There's your sins. And you need a Savior. to save you from your sins and to wash your sins away. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look to him shall he appear the second time when he comes without sin unto salvation. We will be changed. We will be like him, and we will go like him, we who have trusted in him. Also in Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. He requires that which is past. And he's warned us, indeed, that that is the case. In verses 16 on, through the rest of the chapter, we have this aspect that is reinforced. From dust to dust, yes, but man has a soul. You know, at the beginning, I told you, mankind has been created differently than all the other creatures. We have a soul, an eternal soul. Oh, yes, this body's going to go back to the dust from whence it came, but our soul will live forever somewhere. Our souls will live forever somewhere. Here we go in verse 16. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, Solomon says. Man has corrupted that. I saw the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. You know, Solomon even did it himself. He was unjust in some judgments and some rulings that he made. He saw those that were in his kingdom. He saw those that worked in the kingdom of his father before. And he saw that the place of judgment, that there was wickedness that was there. The place of righteousness where it should have been, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, verse 17, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. There it is enforced for us, that we might know, for there's a time for every purpose and for every work. A time to live, a time to die, a time to be judged by the Lord. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, this situation, this way that man is found, that God might manifest them, that he might show and reveal that and open that up, that it might be understood in contrast to him, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. Now, this isn't a verse that supports that we are a result of evolution, but that we might understand our baseness, that we might understand our sinfulness, that we might understand our great lack to stand before a holy and righteous judge, a holy and righteous God. We need him to manifest that about us. If it was not for him doing so, we would not know that it's the case. Because this whole world is in our heart naturally. This is what we know, and we think that everything is great and everything we do is great. We need the Lord to manifest that. I said in my heart concerning the estates of the sons of men, that God might manifest them. That word manifest means to take it out and to spread it out there so it can be seen. Manifest them that they might see. And so it's a purpose that the one that is being shown forth of what they are, it might be seen that we are what we are before the Lord. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath. Isn't that interesting? We breathe the same air as the animals do. So that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. And what's that all about? Well, from the standpoint of just living on the earth in a body, we as humans are able and blessed to do so much more, but you know what? We die too. Just like the cat or the dog dies, we die too. That's part of Solomon's reference here in vanity, his despairing. He mentions in other chapters about pursuing great work and doing really, really good and building it all up. And then the son that he leaves it to might be a fool and just waste it all. He said it's a vexation. This thing just can't keep on going on. Seems like it ought to, but it doesn't. And so as he looks on at physical life on the earth, he said, we die just like every other creature dies on the earth. In this one, just this one verse, he said, that's a vain thing. All go into one place. He's speaking about the earth and the grave. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Well, physically, from the standpoint of our physical body, it's so. Remember how the creation was? In Genesis 1:24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Okay? So that's where the animals came from, and that's what Solomon is looking on at. Remember how it is with the creation of man? And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground. But listen, it was different. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. There is a difference. From the standpoint of the physical, from the standpoint of living on the earth, from the standpoint of putting the world in our heart, and where naturally we're just focused upon here, Solomon looks on and he says, it's just the same. My dog died and I will die physically. But listen, he's not done. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? What's the answer? God does. He knows. And you know what? He tells us. That animal that dies, it's done. They're dead. They're not going to doggy or cat heaven. They're not going to be in glory with the saints of the Lord. There'll be creatures there that the Lord has ordained, and that'll be for there and that time, whatever that is. But it's not Rover, or it's not my childhood cat Marble, or it's not that. They're dead. They die. Their life is gone. But you know what? It's different with you and me. We have a soul. And you know how we know we have a soul? Because God tells us we have a soul. He reveals to us, and he tells us about that thing that is within us, that understanding that we have, how we're different, if we're honest, that he has made us different. He has made us in his image and his likeness. Who can tell? God knows. God knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward. What is this going upward? What's this of that judgment of appearing before God after death? It's that responsibility and accountability that we have that is not so for the beasts of the earth. God knows, and he tells us the truth by his word. Verse 22, wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works. Live life well. Use and what God has given in talent and opportunity and ability. That is our portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? A man naturally won't see what's next, but God can show us, doesn't he? And he does show us. There is a life to come that the way of that life and the time of that life and the place, if you will, of that life is connected to this life. We don't know that in and of ourselves, but God knows it and God shows it through his word. Where would we be without the knowledge of the Lord being conveyed through his word? God can and has through his word. See, in verse 14, I know that whatever God doeth, it shall be forever. And you know what? Our Lord is a savior for sinners. He's a savior for men, if you will, trapped on this earth and trapped in this life, trapped by depravity and sin. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. God does it that we might fear before him. He tells us the truth that we might fear. A Again, as we saw there, all go to one place and all are of the dust and return and turn to dust again. Yeah, the physical body does, but the soul of man is accountable to God. What is it that the scripture says about itself and about this knowledge, this what God knows that he shares with us and he tells us? He tells us this in Hebrews 4 verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isn't that along the line of what Brother Solomon said in verse 18 there in the midst, that God might manifest them? He does that with his word, doesn't he? Shows us and tells us the truth. Back in Hebrews 4:12, there at the end of verse 12, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in God's sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's the reason that the word of God says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's how we can know what will be after us, after our time here. It's how we can know about our sin and our self-centeredness and our lack of righteousness before God. We can know about a judgment. We can know about the Savior. We can know about our need by what the Lord has shown unto us. Naturally, we're just wrapped up here. Desire nothing else, want nothing else. And in sin and depravity, we just go on working on, like I said, that time that's just so easily revealed in the scriptures from the creation to the flood. Man just is there living, and there are those that believe and trust in the Lord and are faithful, but it comes down to one man and his family, and the whole world is destroyed because they had corrupted the Lord's way. The word of the Lord came and visited Noah, didn't he? That he might know what God is doing. He might know what's after him, if you will, if you understand the principle there. See, Jesus, when he came, he said this in Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. Listen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's what we are, as poor. We're poor in knowledge. We're poor in understanding. We're poor in power. We just have no ability to understand the big picture. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And this life, with the sin and the meanness of men, it is a brokenhearted place, isn't it? Becoming more so in our country every day. He said to preach deliverance to the captives, because we're captive and we don't even know it. And recovering of sight to the blind, we can't see and we don't even know it. And to set at liberty them that are bruised, because we are captive in so many ways. But he has come, he came to set and make men free, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. How about you? Where do you stand before God? What's the condition of your soul? Do you hear what the Lord has said in his word about the life to come, the judgment to come? Are you prepared to meet your Maker? You can only be through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a time and a season for everything. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to be judged. You know what? There's a time and a season to consider the state and condition of your soul before the Lord. There's a time for that too. I pray it's today. There's a time and a season to consider eternity. And where do you stand in regards to eternity? Where will you go? We pray that you'll see your need and you'll find that need met in the Lord Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and repent of your sins and believe and trust in him. And brothers and sisters, there's a time and a season to evaluate our worship and service to the Lord. We as the Lord's children will give an account too. May the Lord help us with his word.